to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel and the 16th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 16, and let's begin reading with verse 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedst the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. This is said after that he concluded in verses 3 through 14, telling the condition they had been in and the rescue that he had given them, the love and the compassion that he had shown upon them. Verse 16, and of thy garments thou didst take and deckst thy high places with divers colors, and placed the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookst thy broidered garments, and coveredst them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour, and oil, and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor, and thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the day of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare, and was polluted in thy blood. Shall we pray? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can come into your house this evening. We can assemble together. We're thankful for your word that is before us. And as we look here of what you had done for Israel, for Jerusalem, it reminds us of what you have done for us. And Lord, as we look at this portion and see how that they turned away from you, they forgot their beginnings. Help us, Lord, as we think upon these things and as we look at these things, that we be not like them, that we go not astray from thee, that we do not forget whence you have brought us, what great mighty works you have done on our behalf. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd open our hearts and give us understanding to your word tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We had previously considered the thought that God had done great and marvelous things for Israel. for Jerusalem. And the love and the compassion that he showed upon her, and how that he had beautified her and decked her with ornaments and fine flour and honey and oil, gave her a name among the nations. She was beautiful. He made her beautiful in his sight. But she was lifted with pride. She was filled with pride because of all the wealth that she had gotten, because of all the beauty that she enjoyed, because of her name being spread throughout the nations. And she left off God. Last week, considering the thought that she played the harlot because of her renown, because of the fame of her name being spread all about. Tonight we come to a thought that is presented in verse 22, and in all thine abominations and thy whoredom, thou had not remembered, hast not remembered the days of thy youth. They forgot their beginning. What a shame. How sad. She forgot the condition that she was in when God came to her in love, in compassion, lifted her up out of the miry clay, out of an horrible pit, and set her feet on a rock. She forgot it. She forgot what God had done for her. They forgot the deplorable and despicable condition that they were in. She forgot her deplorable birth and the despicable condition that she was left in. They failed to remember how God had rescued them, how he had poured out his blessings upon them. Not because there was anything desirable in them, not because there was anything better than any other nation in them, but because he loved her. He chose her to make her great, to bring her unto himself, to make her his and his only. They had simply forgotten what God had done for them. They forgot how wonderfully he had blessed them. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 4, I know we've read this before, but it bears being read again this evening. This thought here that we're faced with tonight of Jerusalem, of Israel, forgetting her beginnings, it ought to weigh heavy upon our hearts and minds. For how oft do we forget? How oft do we forget what mighty works God has done for us? What blessings he has blessed us with. In verse 9 of this fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, we read, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." See, they were to teach them. They themselves were not to forget them, what God had done for them, and they were to teach them to their sons, to their children, that they might be told what God had done for them, and that they might not forget. And then they were to teach them to their sons' sons, to their children's children, that they might know what God had done for them, and that they might not forget it. And yet, in doing all that, in rehearsing these things, and in the readings of the law and the prophets, yet they forgot it. Which reminds us of ourselves, does it not? How often do we come into the house of the Lord and we read these things and we hear these things preached and taught to us? And we go out and we forget what God has done for us. And then we go out and seek to live our own life and forget God. It appalls me how that I can go through the majority of my day and forget God so much of the time. How about you? Do we think of Him 10% of the time? Do we think of Him 5% of the time? Do we think of Him 1% of the time? I know that's getting pretty low, isn't it? It seems like we get up in the morning and we think about Him for a few minutes, maybe even have our personal private devotions. Do we give Him another thought the rest of the day? While we're going out and serving our desires and our passions and our thoughts and the things that we want to do and the things that interest us the most. You say, well, no, the things of God interest me the most. Well, do they? Do they? How much time do we spend with the Lord? How much time do we spend in rehearsing His Word? How much time do we spend in prayer? We forget God on a daily basis. And in forgetting God, we forget the condition we were in, the deplorable and despicable condition that we were in when God came to us in love and grace, mercy. Not because we were anything special. We weren't anything special. We were vile and wicked, serving our own interest and our own selves. But God, because He loved us, extended His great mercy unto us. Praise His name. And Jerusalem, the Israelites, here in the book of Deuteronomy, early on, just before they're to go into the promised land, are told to beware, be on guard, that you forget not God. Keep your soul diligently. Keep it in the things of God. Keep it in the commandments of God. Keep it in the ways of God. And you do that by committing them to yourselves, committing them to your children, and committing them to your children's children. You see, it has to be in every way of life, an everyday way of life that most of our time is spent rehearsing the things of God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 78. And let's begin with verse 10. Speaking concerning the children of Israel, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forget His works and His wonders that He had showed them. You see, they forgot. How can we forget? The mighty works and wonders God has done on our behalf. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Marvelous things He did. He's done marvelous things for you, hasn't He? He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Clave the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused water to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lusts. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people?" Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob and against And anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not God and trusted not in His salvation. You see, when we forget what marvelous and wonderful things that God has done for us on our behalf, and lifting us out of the miry clay, delivering us from a horrible pit, setting our feet on a rock. He says, trusted not in His salvation. You see, in those moments and in those times, we're not trusting in His salvation. We're not trusting in God. We're trusting in our own gods. What benefit that they can give to us. Let us not do as they did. Let us not forget. Let us not be lifted up with pride. See, when we forget what God did for us, that's to be lifted up with pride. That's almost as if, not almost as if to say, it is to say, look what I've done. Look what I've gotten by my hands. Look how blessed I am. We forget that our blessings came from God. We forget that it is He that did it. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 6. And look with me at verse 17 here. But God be thanked. There's where the thanks goes. It goes to God. It goes to God every moment of every day. We ought to be giving Him thanks. God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. See, that's what we were. We don't have to serve sin any longer. We're not supposed to serve sin any longer. We were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You see, we believed. We've obeyed. We believed. We believed because God gave us the faith. Being then made free from sin. You see, when we believed, we were made free from sin. Not to serve it any longer. Ye became the servants of righteousness. We can now serve God. We can serve God in righteousness. We can serve God in holiness. He's ordained it so. He wishes it so. He desires it to be so. He commands it to be so. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, that's what we did before. Before God came to us in love and compassion and mercy, even so now that you're changed, now that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. And that's a everyday occurrence. That is an every moment of every day. Striving and laboring to do that which is pleasing to Him. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 11 says, and so were some of you. What were some of us? Verse 10. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And those things listed there, especially when you get to the covetousness and the extortion, well, all of it is idolatry. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. We're now washed, we're cleansed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, we were washed. We were made holy. We're forgiven. All our sins. Every one of them. Praise God. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to chapter 12. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. That's what we were. Yes? We were heathen. We were Gentiles. Serving idols. You say, well, I'm not dumb. You were serving yourself, and let me tell you, you are dumb. God can show you you're dumb. All he's got to do is take your speech away. He shut the mouth of Zacharias until after John the Baptist was born. And then when they wanted to know what John was going to be called, well, John's not a family name. And they asked Zacharias, what shall he be called? And the Spirit unloosed his mouth, and he said, he shall be called John. And then he went on to give a great prophetic statement concerning John the Baptist and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom he was forerunner. See, that's what we were. We ought to be no longer. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. You know these passages of scriptures well, but we need to be reminded of it because we forget so easily. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we were. We were dead. Here's the condition. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the condition we were in. We were doing Satan's bidding. He was the prince and the power of there, and we ran after it. We did as our father, the devil, did. We were children of disobedience and children of wrath. But God. But God. Who is rich in mercy, his great love wherewith he loved us. Aren't you glad God came to you in love? Bestowing his mercy upon you? Well, then why don't we show it? Why don't we live it? Why don't we live as though we're glad that God did this for us? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. Verse 6, more of what good he's done for us, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, that's what he did for us. We're in Christ. Christ is seated, is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're there in him. And he is advocating on our behalf, each and every one of us, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You know what I say that is? That we're trophies. Trophies of his marvelous grace. We're God's trophies. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That is a daily course of our life, and it is ordained before the foundation of the world that we should walk in it. Every moment of every day of our life, we will be found working for the Lord, doing that which is pleasing and honoring and glorifying unto our great God. Well, we'll close there tonight.